recorded live.
Well, welcome to Women's Battles. I am Beth Jones, your host, and I am so excited that you're here with us today. And I have a very special guest today and a friend. I'm really excited that she's here with us today, Susan Evans. Susan, I just want to welcome you.
Thank you. I'm excited.
How are you, Susan?
Dreadfully fatigued. How are you?
Doing good. Well, I just want to let the people get to know you a little bit. So just share about yourself, your website, if you're married and have kids, that kind of thing.
Sure. Okay. I'm Susan Evans. I'm married and I have 4 kids, ages 10, 9, 7, and 6. My youngest just turned 6. I homeschool my kids, and I was a teacher for 7 years before I had kids. I also grew up as a missionary kid, and so I've written a book about that. And my website is susanevans.org, and I'm all about hands-on learning. It's mostly for homeschool parents, but I have a lot of godly articles about my walk with God. So people who don't homeschool sometimes follow all of those anyway. And then people with kids who don't homeschool also like my blog that because it has lots of hands-on ideas for their
mm-hmm.
kids. And so that's kind of what I do. Yeah.
Well, for those of you who don't know, Susan Evans is a seminar speaker. She's an author. Her book that she mentioned about being a missionary's kid, that is an incredible book. And again, her website is www.susanevans.org. And her blog is susanevans.org/blog. Susan grew up in Guatemala as a missionary kid. She was raised by Christian parents who love God. And when Susan was 18, she moved to the U.S. and she earned a bachelor's degree in English. She also became a certified teacher and taught for 7 years before she had children. Now, Susan, you also taught over in London for a little while, doing drama and other classes, right?
Yes, I love that. That was the pinnacle of my career, I would say, except that I love teaching my own kids even better. But I had the kids just loved me over there. Yeah, especially the ones that I had in my drama troupe. I had most of the middle school kids in my drama troupe, and we just had so much fun doing plays. But I was mostly an English teacher, and then I teach writing classes to homeschool students as well. And I forgot to say I was a speaker. Yes, and this one. I know, like, okay, that's a major part of my life now. But yes, like, for example, coming up this summer, in a couple of weeks, I'll be at the WHO Seattle Conference on June, I think it's 17th and 18th, 2011, in case you're listening to this 10 years from now. But so I'll have a vendor table there. And then also in the Ocean Conference in Portland, Oregon, I'm doing 4 classes, and the one that I'm most excited about is using simple costumes and props to teach the Bible. I felt spiritual chills as I was preparing for that one, and that'll be the first time that I deliver it. It's going to be in Oregon in a few weeks.
That is awesome, Susan. And Susan was sharing about how she did her hands-on learning at her blog at her homeschool site. And if you go there, she's got videos, she's got pictures, she's got blog posts and articles that tell you how she does the hands-on learning. And it is just incredible. It just cracks me up to watch her videos because she's so enthusiastic and passionate and dramatic. And she just really, and this is on her site too, she says she likes bringing life to things. And if there was one thing I would describe about Susan, it's hard to kind of boil it down to one thing, but I would say she is full of life. She's very passionate. She's very enthusiastic about teaching and her kids learning. So I encourage you to go there. The homeschool conferences that you're going to teach at, Susan, how did you get those? How did that open up for you for those in the audience who would like to be a speaker, who would like to get opportunities like that, whether it's homeschooling, speaking, or speaking about other topics?
What I did first was I was actually wanting to know all the main conferences that were around here because I've been asked to speak at my conference here in Spokane because what I did was I volunteered to do workshops for homeschool moms in a small group situation. So like
that's a good idea.
Yeah, we had like a mom's night out. And so when I volunteered to talk about organization or whatever, then they said, oh, that sounds wonderful, because I could bring some stuff and show them. And I was just going to show them. It ended up that they loved how my speaking, and so they wanted to book me for the conference here. See, if you start off small, like, speaking to a group of people that you're just sharing your heart with them, you know, and even like in a circle of chairs, you know, or whatever, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be that you're standing up, although I was standing up because I used to be a teacher, so it wasn't that big of a deal to me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's how it started. And then from there, I found out that the biggest homeschool conference in Washington was the WHO conference. Well, as I was in prayer, I was on my knees praying about what God wanted me to teach there. Simple Costumes and Props to Teach the Bible was the only one that I felt God wanted me to do. And that's weird because, okay, as a homeschool conference speaker, you're supposed to give like a big list of workshops for them to choose from, you know, because
mm-hmm.
like they might have a lot on one subject but not on other subjects, you know, like they might not have any math ones, or they might need more science ones or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Uh-huh.
So you need to give them a bigger list. You don't just give them one thing, say take it or leave it. I mean, who am I? I'm like nobody right now. I mean, years from now, I mean, everyone who hears me speak says I'm going to become famous. So if you hear me 10 years from now, this recording, you're going to go, oh, you're not nobody. But yes, right now I'm a nobody. So for me to say, take it or leave it, this one thing, because I feel this is what God wants me to do, they left it. Believe it or not, isn't that funny? They said they went to my website and they love it and they wanted me to teach about unit studies. And I could easily do that, Beth. I could easily do that. But I felt like God only wanted me to do that once. So because of that, I said, maybe next year or something, I'll do the others. Well, by that time, I had already paid for a vendor table because I needed to do that by a certain, I don't know. It seems like, I think they, well, I don't know if there's a waiting list or whatever, but I knew that in order for my business to take off and for people to get to know who I am, I needed to be at the biggest conference in my area. And my husband was fully supportive of that, and so we were one in spirit about it.
That's
so we
great.
Went ahead and paid for that, even though I'm not actually speaking at this particular one, even though they wanted me to speak. But because I had prayed about it, I do not want to be outside the will of God because, you know, I mean, the best will of God. Like
mm-hmm.
what God is prompting you to do, those things, you're the most blessed, you feel the most fulfilled, they're the most spiritually powerful, they make the biggest difference in people's lives. And so that matters to me. And I would rather not go outside of that. Okay, so then, I don't know how it was. I think, okay, I had made connections, like with Felice Gerwitz and then Susan K. Marlowe. I became friends with her on the internet. I still haven't, well, you know, I met her. I haven't met you, physically speaking, but I've...
But I feel like I know you.
Oh, I know. I feel like we're best friends. Anyways, but, yeah, Susan K. Marlowe was saying that one of the best homeschool conferences in the area, because she lives in Washington also, is the Ocean Conference. She highly recommended I go to that one. Okay, so I went and I didn't go. I emailed them. It took forever for them to answer back, and so I had let that go. And then at the last minute, somehow, they contacted me, or I contacted them. I don't know how it went. But they loved me so much so that they were willing to pay me to come. And so basically all expenses paid, they're paying me for everything. I sent my PowerPoints to them and everything about what I was going to speak. And I think, I mean, my personality shines through my website. You could tell who
yes,
I
it
am,
does.
My
mm-hmm.
walk with God. Someone told me that God oozes out of my website, like everywhere, even things that are not talking about God, somehow God turns up.
Because of your passion, yeah.
Oh, I just love that because it's so encouraging. Anyway, so that's how I got booked there. And then through the homeschool channel, I started to become active on the homeschool channel because I have a lot of videos. Like I have a YouTube channel under Susan C. Evans. And And so a lot of those videos went into a homeschool channel. And then somehow, because I was blogging on the homeschool channel, I got other job offers for speaking in other cities. So that's how it opened up. So this is my beginning, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's the beginning of something great. I believe that. So one of the things I want to emphasize that you said was that it all started with prayer. It started in the prayer closet about you praying what you desired. And that doesn't mean that God is always going to give us what we want. And thank God he doesn't do that. I thank God for unanswered prayers. But God hears, and God even puts desires in our hearts. Like, for example, I want to go to the mission field. And I want to go to Africa. I want to travel all around the world. God sees us. Those desires, he puts them in our heart, and as we pray, he will answer, just like he did with Susan. He opened the door for her. Now, those of you who are just joining us and are listening, I am interviewing Susan Evans. She's at susanevans.org. She is a speaker and a writer. She is one of the contributing writers for my newest ebook, The Hands of a Woman, Everyday Women and Everyday Battles. And you can find out more about that ebook at womensbattles.com, http://womensbattles.com. I wanted to emphasize again to you that it started with prayer. It started in the prayer closet. Susan addressed some of this in that chapter. She talked about prayer. She talked about when she was 15 and her parents were missionaries, and how even at an early age, the enemy planted a thought in her head to cause her to want to kill herself. And Susan, I know we weren't going to talk a whole lot about the warfare, but can you share why you felt led to share that particular story and how you believe that chapter can help other people, that ebook, and how God kept you from that when you said God came down as you prayed?
Yes, and actually I hadn't even thought about that, but that was prayer too. Wow, Beth. Yes. Anyway, so what happened, right, basically words can be planted into your mind by the enemy, and it's in the form of I want to kill myself. I heard those words outside of myself as if it was my own mind, so I didn't hear anything. I mean, there was no actual voice or anything, but it was, I felt that way, but looking back, I know that it was outside of myself, and we were talking about the demonic.
She was in class. For those of you who don't know, she was in a biology class at school, and they were discussing demons, and the enemy planted this thought.
This was a missionary kid school, by the way, full of missionary kids. So it's weird that the biology teacher would start talking about demons for a whole entire hour. I felt like the air was thick, and yeah. I felt, okay, women in general, girls, when they're teenagers, they're very hormonal. And my husband says that all the girls he ever knew as teenagers, all of them wanted to die at some point or whatever. So it's not necessarily that I was suicidal, although I disagree with him because I was going to follow through and do it. But I felt like there was no reason for me to want to do that. It was just I felt outside of myself that complete despair. And actually, I just wrote an article, Beth, on my website, Without Hope There Is Despair. And actually, this relates to my church situation that just occurred.
Mm-hmm.
That despair, that comes from Satan. That despair is what caused me to believe that there was no reason for me to live, you know, and that it would be better if I was gone. Like, it would be a blessing to other people that I was gone. Isn't that weird? People believe
mm-hmm.
that, but by the way, anyone who has wanted to take their life has felt that it would be better for other people, so they're at a point where they think that they're doing the right thing. It's really twisted. And when I cried out to God and God came down, I felt the presence of God physically, and there was a demon on me because I felt like something was stomping on my chest, and then it just came off my chest. And I felt like I could breathe again. And what I said was, God, I come boldly to your throne as you said that I could. And I beg you in the name of Jesus, may this despair go away. And immediately it was gone. And
wow.
If God had not come down, I would be dead because I am very action-oriented, okay? I take action. You know me.
You know? Yeah, you are.
Something on my heart, I charge forward. I'm like Joan of Arc, except, well, I'm not. I don't believe all her screwed. Well, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've read what she believed, but I mean, I'm talking about her personality and charging forward. That kind
right.
of like I'm on a horse charging forward. I'm a warrior. That is that pictures me.
I agree. You know, she's one of my heroines. I love Joan of Arc.
I should go back and read her. I don't know if I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Whether I agree with her stuff or not. It's been so long, so I don't want
yeah.
to endorse her necessarily. But that's kind of I've been called Joan of Arc by elders from my church. Believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you can talk about that too. We talked earlier about the warfare that's involved sometimes with even other Christians that. We shoot our own wounded, and, you know, I believe that is from the enemy, that he tries to cause strife and division between brothers and sisters in Christ. So do you want to share about that, your situation with your church a little?
Oh, my goodness, yes. This is something that is demonic warfare. What God, Satan wants to destroy families. And he wants to destroy churches. Those are the two main realms that if he can destroy, then everything is destroyed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you can't function in the family, you can't live properly. And also, if you can't function in the church, the body of Christ, then you're just an eyeball, and you can't hear, you can't walk, you can't breathe. I mean, nothing else. You're just an eyeball, you know? All you have is your own spiritual gift, and if you don't plug into the other people, like, one of the most beautiful things that has come out of all this agony, as far as I'm concerned, one of the jewels that has come out of this pain has been a bunch of church blog entries that I've written that have caused people to want to go back to church, believe it or not, even
wow.
though they've been burned.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people following this, and I think that a few of the people following me, like on the homeschool channel and stuff, are pastors. And they're interested in this because this is, I mean, their congregations, it happens in their congregations too. What happens is Satan sees people who are effective, who are actively ministering and making a difference in the church, and I was one of those people. And it's the truth because I would ask God who to draw me to, and God would draw me to that person. God would empower me to do whatever he needed to minister to that person. I have plugged into almost every single woman in that church. I know their struggles and weaknesses. I have been on my knees daily, for 100 people of our church. Can you believe
mm-hmm.
that? I don't know how that happened. I took on people little by little. I had them over to dinner, and they shared their hearts with me. I shared my heart with them. So I am very active in the church in the sense of I use my spiritual gift with them. I pull their spiritual gift out, and I am blessed. It's like
that's great.
Yeah.
I remember on your blog you wrote about some of the women in your church that God would just, you would pray, and God would show you who to go to, and you would give them a word of encouragement, or you would pray for them, and just how God used you, just being sensitive to spirit like that. That's so important. There's
yeah.
a lot of hurting people in churches.
Oh, there are. And,
and outside the church.
Me included. And you know what? It's funny because a lot of times God will draw me to somebody and then they'll have the things to say to me that I need. So it's not just me being all great. No.
Right.
I need them, and they're just, in fact, they're better than I am. They're higher than me in whatever their spiritual gift is. If you can come to people with a humility, smashing your face in the dust, I mean, in the sense of, okay, if you lord it over people, and see, this is one of the problems of the church. If you use your spiritual gift a lot and you become really good at it,
mm-hmm.
then you start becoming prideful of it. And,
right.
Oh, it is one of the downfalls because then, you know, you think that you, I don't know, you somehow stop relying on God and you think that it's you and you're great. Oh,
Right, and God says in His Word, He will not share His glory with anyone. So that is what happens sometimes. So there's a balance. Some people are too afraid to use their gifts, and they hesitate, or they've never been taught about the spiritual gifts. They don't even know there are spiritual gifts, or they don't know what their gifts are.
Yeah.
And then other people, like you said, can become so good at using them, it comes almost natural, supernaturally natural, that they become prideful. And the Bible says that God resists the proud. But we all have gifts that God wants to use. And one of your gifts, Susan, I believe that is so strong, is that you hear the voice of God. You are a student of the Holy Spirit. You hear His voice, and you are a prayer warrior. Now, some people in the audience may not know what a prayer warrior is. So can you just, and I know you've got articles on your blog too, and this ebook is about prayer and spiritual warfare, but can you just explain to the audience, what is a prayer warrior? What does that mean? Why is it important? You know, how you pray and how you teach your kids to pray. Would you share about that, please?
Yes, okay. Oh, prayer. Beth, prayer is the most important thing I do
mm-hmm.
in my life. Believe it or not, that is the praying for my husband is the best way to minister to my husband. Praying for my children allows God to transform them, and I see change, like beautiful transformation in my children as a result of prayer, like strong prayer. What caused me to become a prayer warrior, there was a sermon that was given by someone, I think, gosh, a long time ago, almost 10 years ago now maybe, I don't know, I can't remember, losing track of time, but it was quite a few years ago, someone talked about prayer being a burden for people, labor. They would set aside time. They showed how Christ set aside time to pray, so it wasn't just a small little thing. And I was convicted because I used to spend a lot of time in the Word of God. I love the Word of God because whenever I learn something new and fresh about God or Christ, and I get so excited. The delight of God
mm-hmm.
I feel high. Spiritually, I feel a high of something new and fresh I've learned about God. So to me, there's a payback for the time I put in the Word of God. I get rewarded for it inwardly almost immediately. Not every single time, but, you know, by and large, there's a lot of immediate reward, okay? For prayer, there isn't necessarily. It's just a ton of hard work, and a lot of times it goes what seems like unheeded for ages. So it is a spiritual discipline that is harder than the study of the Word of God. And and one of the things that is important about prayer, which I haven't really mentioned very much in any articles so far, and I'll probably write one about it, but the most important thing in prayer is to open your heart to God and yield your spirit to God. And you have to be silent before God. In other words, listening. And actually, Beth, you've mentioned this in your previous book. What's the name of it?
Walking with God. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Walking with God. That book, Beth, that you wrote, shows a lot of the fact that you have to get through all the muddle in order to hear God, that you explained a lot of that really, really clearly. But
thank you.
But basically, so many times in my life, I've not known the answer to something, okay? James, the book of James, tells us that if we ask for wisdom, God will give it to us. I would pray for something, God would answer by popping an idea in my head, and it didn't make any sense. I would have never thought of whatever it was that popped in my head. I knew it was the Spirit. You just know.
Yeah, you do.
You just know. And that's how you hear God. It's not that hard.
Susan, I want to ask you one thing. You just reminded me of something when you said that.
Yeah.
I've talked to you before about quickly answer prayers. And you have incredible testimonies of how God answered prayers, just exactly what you were praying for, like your trip with your husband that you needed $500 for or other things. Will you share about that, how God doesn't, I mean, sometimes he doesn't and he has a reason for us waiting. He's teaching us things. But I believe that you, that there is an anointing on your life that God, you really have prayed and that God hears and answers quickly. Would you share a few of those testimonies with people?
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. And these are all over my website, too. But, oh, my goodness, I pray for something and God answers it. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I've prayed for like a pajama size 4. I only had $1. And so I prayed because I only had one pair of pajamas and it had a hole for my child. I had no money. I just had $1 in my wallet, literally, okay, for so long. And I have actually a testimony of this on my website. It's only $5. And if you can't afford it, email me. I'll give it to you for free. But really, it's called... oh, shoot, what is it called? It's about finances.
It's don't fight over finances.
Don't fight over finances, exactly. Oh, it is my testimony. It is so powerful how God provided every step of the way. Even when we had nothing, I would pray, and I knew God was my provider. It was weird because everything I prayed for, I mean, literally, I can't remember a single time when I asked for something precise that God didn't answer, even my wants. It wasn't even needs sometimes. Like going away on a weekend away with my husband, I had nothing. Okay, I don't know which one of the two you're talking about, Beth, because last year and the year before, both of those were miraculous. Did
wow.
I tell you about the time that the money in my drawer multiplied?
No.
Okay, I'll tell you that one. Since that's
yeah, I like that one.
Okay, oh my gosh. And oh, it's so funny. Okay, before I came to marriage, I was really good at finances and budgeting and everything, and I always had a surplus. I always had thousands in the bank as a buffer and stuff like that, and I never had any balances on any credit cards or anything like that. Well, my husband is so wonderful. He's so generous and everything, and now he's more frugal than me. We've actually changed roles. It's crazy. I had cash to pay for groceries every month. And for years and years, all I had is $100 cash for groceries for our whole family. And so I tried to double it by praying. Before I went to buy groceries, I'd get on my knees and I'd ask God, God, you know what I need? Please lead me to the right stores to be able to get everything I need. And I usually got $200 worth of groceries for $100. That was normal. Every week after week after week, So like about $25 per week, would have meat for dinner every night, okay, and vegetables every day and fruit every day. And so it's not like we didn't have our nutrients, you know. I made sure to have that. But a lot of those excess things like chips we didn't have. But anyway, so I would grab sometimes a $20 bill from that $100. Now, To make it, I'm only 80 when it was a stretch to do 100, you know. I would ask God somehow cover it, and then I would throw the money in a drawer, okay? Because my husband has the only job, and so for his birthday or for Christmas, I felt like I could never get him anything because it was his own money, and we were in debt, and I couldn't buy anything, you know. So I wanted my own cash somehow to be able to do that. Well, I also was able to sell some things around the house or whatever on Craigslist or whatever. And so then I would throw it in the drawer. Well, there was one time, this was only last year. Anyway, I had thrown in, I had saved up actually like $300. I had sold a bunch of stuff, so it wasn't just grocery money. But it was in the drawer. I knew I had probably somewhere around 300. I was hoping it was around 300. And I didn't know if that was enough for a weekend away, but my husband desperately needed a weekend away. This is at the beginning of our church issues where there was slander, and it was really, really painful. And a lot of false allegations and things of people that were dear, dear, dear to us. and who still are very godly, but they're blind by Satan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What they're doing. And then like a statement is totally twisted, and then they stab you in the back and twist it, and then they think that they're doing the right thing and that they're following God, and they're so sweet and wonderful. I love them, but they're blind, and what they're doing is sin, but they can't see it, you know. And I'm blind
to
my sin too, so I do not, I mean, I forgive them. I'm not angry or anything, but anyway, this huge weight was on my husband. I knew he needed a vacation, or not. Well, of course he needs a vacation, but all we could do is a weekend. So I wanted to go to this hotel that was just gorgeous. Anyway, because it was the only one that my husband wanted to go to, I'm like, this is ridiculous. Because I mean, we're not rich or anything. Well, come to find out, I grabbed the money from the drawer. I knew it was supposed to be around $300. It was $500. Okay.
Wow.
It had multiplied in the drawer. And you know what? This is just crazy. Okay, so my parents decided at the last second, this was over Thanksgiving weekend, my parents decided, okay, we'll take the kids, because it was a four-day weekend, and my husband had no time left over because he had gone on a missions trip to the Czech Republic, and he had used 3 weeks of vacation time from his, and so he'd used up all his vacation time. So the only time we could go away on a weekend away would be on that four-day weekend. And we had Thanksgiving with them first or whatever. So it was like a three-day or two-day. I don't know. Can't remember. Anyway. So here I had $500. Well, I grabbed the money out of the drawer. We dropped the kids off. We were about to go. As we were pulling out of the driveway, I counted it again, and it was $580. I swear to God. I swear. I had just counted it the previous day. And I know you believe me. I know you believe me because
God is
a multiplier. And I have God was so sweet. He wanted us to go to this, lavish hotel downtown. We didn't go anywhere. I mean, it was, 10 minutes or 15 minutes away or whatever, because we were too haggard and tired to actually drive out of town. We were that tired. We desperately needed a break.
And well, Jesus told Peter to get the money out of the fish's mouth. I believe it was Peter.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I believe you.
And Elijah, the oil that kept going out, and then also the flour that was Elisha. I mean, it's not just Jesus only. He's worked through other people multiply stuff. That is not beyond the realm of what's possible. And you know what? I believe if God wants me to say mountain be moved, I believe that it can happen. Beth,
amen.
I've seen such impossible things happen. And the funny thing is, I don't think I have that great of a faith, although everybody says I do. It's just a grain of mustard. It's like, have you seen a mustard seed? It is so
Yeah, they're tiny. Tiny. They're very tiny.
Oh my goodness, it's almost not there. So that's how it is. All it is, it's God. It's me scooting over and letting God do whatever He wants and knowing that He can.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So that's why. I mean, that's how I believe how I do, and you were asking me about that. I don't know. You asked me a lot of questions in that one question. I don't know if I answered them all.
You did. Well, for those of you who are listening, this is Beth Jones, and I'm interviewing Susan Evans, a speaker and a writer. She was one of the contributing writers to my newest e-book, The Hands of a Woman, Everyday Women and Everyday Battles. I am so excited about this book. There are powerful stories in it, and Susan's is one of those stories in Chapter 8. Her chapter is called The Power of God, and I thought that was very fitting for her. But one of the things that Susan was just talking about was how God answers prayer. Now, sometimes we face situations where God doesn't answer prayer, and it seems like we're waiting for the answer, or, why isn't God answering? Well, if you remember in the book of Daniel, Daniel prayed, and he was resisted. His prayers were resisted by the enemy, that the angel came in response to his prayers, and then the enemy came to resist those prayers. Sometimes your prayers will be resisted, and I want to encourage you to do not stop praying. keep praying, keep looking to God, and God will hear your voice. He will answer. And, you know, sometimes we're going to experience spiritual warfare in our lives. And this e-book tells about some of those situations. Some of the people in this e-book that I have, in this, their stories in it, they had to stand on God's word for years, such as Kimberly Ehler. She had to stand for years on her son Seth's healing, and God did miracles with her son Seth. I had God answer prayers for me and my husband for our daughter Leah to be healed of seizures. Another person in that e-book is Gayla Palmgren. Gayla went through so much, and you really need to hear all these stories. But Susan, one of the things you said in your chapter that stood out to me, and it was on page 95, was you were talking about when you received Christ, and you said, it was at that moment that I committed to live the rest of my life sold out to Christ and his service, even though I'd accepted him at age 4 and I had always loved him. And I wanted to ask you about that. What do you mean by sold out? Do you think we can sometimes receive Jesus and then not give all of our heart to him? Can you explain a little bit about the sold out part?
Yes. Salvation is one of those things that God calls you before the foundation of the earth to be his own. And I believe that the process of being sold out to God is a lot of times, okay, some people have a dramatic conversion, like they were on drugs and everything was horrible, and then they were saved, and then like the very next day everything was fabulous, and you know. But for most people, when they pray to receive Christ or to make him Lord of their life, it is a gradual transformation. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit in you, but it begins, and then you open the Word of God, and somehow it comes to life because you have the Spirit to give you understanding of what the Scripture is, and then, you know, and then you can learn and grow and grow and grow, and then as you're growing, you connect different things together. You have a greater trust in God. All these other things. Well, I remember my dad leading me to Christ when I was 4. I believe that Christ died for my sin on the cross. I mean, I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that Christ was God was holy, and that was the only way to God, and I wanted him to be Lord of my life. I believe that small children can come to Christ. Jesus says, let the little children come to me. I believe that they can be saved. Now, if I hadn't been saved, I wouldn't have called upon Christ, and through that scripture, I said, you said I could walk boldly to your throne. See, I was already talking from a previous relationship that was already established, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was 12. See, what I wrote for you was when I was 15. When I was 12, I remember writing a commitment to God to purity for marriage, and I wrote that, and I meant it, and I didn't have to write it. I don't know what compelled me to write it. Maybe someone had a sermon about it. I don't know. Maybe it was Pioneer Girls. I can't remember. But I decided just on a sheet of paper for myself that I was going to make a commitment to God for that. So, you know, but I had never actually felt the presence of God like that before. And most people haven't ever felt that way, but that's because I think when you're in the depths of despair, the foil, the presence of God is all the more poignant and real, and you could feel it a lot better. And in fact, oh my goodness, in your book, time after time after time, chapter after chapter, each of those women's testimonies of agony and how they clung to Christ, that Christ being real to them,
yes,
is only possible to that intensity. It's only possible through pain like that. I really believe that. I know that you can, there's people that haven't gone through pain and stuff like that, but they're not as deep. I'm sorry, they're just not. I mean, they're lovely people, but there's like wisdom and deep riches that can be passed through pain.
Like,
and, yeah, go ahead.
Like Gayla's story, she just went through so much, and you look at her life, Gayla Palmgren, in the ebook, And you think, how on earth did she get through even one of those things, the childhood abuse or and then later domestic abuse? But it was God. It was God pulling her through, just like it was God pulling you through when the enemy tried to tell you to kill yourself or just any of the struggles you faced in your life or that I faced. It is God. Susan was talking about presence of God, and maybe you have never felt that. Maybe you've never felt God's presence. Maybe you don't know God or you don't understand about Jesus, and I would just invite you to pray and just ask God to show himself to you and for Christ to come into your life, and I would love for you to email me or Susan and tell us about that. My email is elizabethdjones@gmail.com. Susan, would you share your email with people?
Yes. CastleSusan@gmail.com.
So. But God is so true. God is everything. God is my very best friend, and he will just do amazing things for your life. And in this ebook, we were talking a while ago about prayer. I wrote, I believe God has called everyone to pray. From the moment you are conceived until you die, you are in a war. You will either fight Satan and his demons, or you will become a prisoner of war or a casualty. There is no neutral ground. And my slogan for this ebook is just that, fight, because neutral is not an option. And Susan, I wanted to talk to you just a minute about that. Why do you think neutral is not an option, like complacency or apathy? Because you're so on fire for God, but not everyone's like that. But why do you think neutral is not an option?
That's because apathy is something that God detests. I mean, you have that in Revelation where he spews you out of his mouth. He would rather
yeah.
you be cold, honestly. And it's because you give God a bad name. I mean, you know, okay, if you are saved, okay, the more you yield to the Spirit, the more of God you have inside of you, the more joy, the more peace, all the fruit of the Spirit just kind of not blasts out of you, it emanates out of you, and it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You want more of God. I mean, why would you be in a place of complacency or apathy? I mean, you can't possibly minister. I mean, okay, ministering to people, it gives so much joy and fulfillment. You will feel like you have a purpose on this earth, you know? I mean, it's so worth it. I mean, I don't know if I ever was at a point of apathy, but I could never go back to a place of apathy knowing how effective I am for Christ not being apathetic. I would rather make mistakes by going forward and trusting God and, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm a human being, I'm bound to make mistakes or say maybe the wrong thing every once in a while because when you're ministering and stuff like that, sometimes you're exhausted and somebody calls you and you're not necessarily walking by the Spirit that second, but because God prompted you to have a relationship with that person, you do already and you've ministered in the past, you know, that kind of thing. Like you might say the wrong thing, but, you know, it's worth it. It's worth it altogether, even if you don't do everything right.
Mm-hmm. There's a song, I can't remember the singer's name, but it's called It's Gonna Be Worth It All, and it's a beautiful song. I believe the first name is Rita something, but it's an incredible worship song. I'll have to look that up, but... Yeah, the thing with me is I couldn't imagine life without God. I mean, he is just my best friend. And, you know, life is hard. Life is not easy, no, not even for Christians. In fact, I think sometimes it's a lot harder for Christians, but I just could not make it without God. I need him, and he's so good. He's so amazing. And that doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect because it's not always perfect. Sometimes we have struggles. Obviously, we've got battles, you know, we as women, as wives, as moms, we go through stuff, we worry about our kids, we, you know, you have to make sure that your marriage is doing okay, and we just, you know, there's financial issues, there's all kind of problems we might face on a daily basis. This ebook does share about some of those struggles, but for those people who don't know God or they've never prayed, or they may not have a real strong prayer life, and maybe they're facing some of that spiritual warfare, some of those problems and struggles. Susan, how would you encourage those people to pray or to develop a stronger prayer life or to get closer to God?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Connect to God through prayer. And I would say the first thing is to open up your heart and life. Actually, I would ask God, God, show me my sin. Because a lot of times, I mean, God says he doesn't hear our prayers if we're in walking in sin on purpose, you know. And so I clear that up first and up front, because you can't hear God if that's in the way. And you can't, I mean, prayer life is just shot completely out the window and ineffective anyway, so you might as well take some time silent before God. God, show me my sin. And if you know specifically, like one time I knew that I was bitter against somebody, and so I asked God to help me to forgive that person, and then I asked God, who else am I bitter against? And then he showed me another person. Like that, if you ask a specific question that's more narrowed down, then God will show you, and you know that that's God, the answer.
I agree, yes.
And, so, and then get rid of the sin. And if you don't know how, okay, I don't know how. You know, I'm the same as you. And what you do is you just ask God, God, please, I don't know how to fix this. Can you help me? And he'll do it miraculously. See, the whole Christian life is miraculous. The whole thing from beginning to end, we expect everything to be logical. We expect everything to be not supernatural, but that is exactly not what the life with the Holy Spirit is. It's all about the supernatural. It's all about transformation, you know? I mean, I used to be ruled by anger. I am not anymore, you know? I am a better me. I'm still the core of who I am, but I'm my best me, with the Holy Spirit shining through me. And that is what I want to be. Don't feel like something is a part of your personality and that you're stuck and that you can never change it. Because I thought that way about anger. And I've
read that's a couple good, of Susan.
Articles about it on my website about anger, but I'm embarrassed about them.
How did you just started praying and God showed you the things you were upset or angry about and helped you to clean it out? Is that you prayed? Is that what?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that whole anger thing, I could probably write a whole book on it. It is so much more complicated than that. My gut reaction to stuff was anger, and it was because of, well, I mean, you know about this, my bitterness toward a rapist. Because of that, once I got rid of that, that decreased my, I would say, not feistiness, but my fuse suddenly was a lot longer, because once that was gone, I just felt this release. It was really interesting.
I want to emphasize what Susan was saying. The purpose of this call wasn't for her to talk about her rape, but there are women out there, there's children out there that have been raped, and I want to tell you that is spiritual warfare against God's people. The Bible says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And the enemy targets us even from an early age. So that was the enemy trying to come into Susan's life to cause destruction and devastation in her life. However, God can take anything the enemy does and turn it around 180 for his glory. And God has done that in Susan's life and in my life. Use painful things of the past for his glory and his kingdom, to minister to other people that have gone through that same pain, to encourage them and to comfort them with the comfort that God has given us. So if you've gone through something like that, and we do talk about that in the seed, but there's other women that have gone through stuff like that, God can redeem that. God can heal that. God can help you and empower you to forgive, just like he did with Susan and with me. God can help you to do that. And so he will give you those beauty for ashes, and I want to encourage you with that. Well, Susan, our time is just about up. And I just wanted you to share again your website, what you've got planned next, what's in the works. I know that you said you might take a little bit of time off for the summer. Tell them your website, your name and your website name again, and what your next plans are. I know your homeschooling conference is coming up, and you'll be speaking. I'm really excited for you. Susan has amazed me. She's a prolific writer. She's got so many articles on her site. She's just so productive. And just the way that she's been like a rocket taking off. I mean, just her products that she's making, and she's just, I actually feel convicted even looking at her site because she's so productive. But she, you need to be sure to check her site out. But share your site with others and what your plans are for
the summer,
and then what's after that.
Okay, my website is SusanEvans.org, and yes, I do have the two conferences coming up. I've already mentioned those at the beginning of this call. I pray to be empowered by the Spirit to minister to people, and because that's the primary thing. But I would also love it if God would bless me financially, because we have not broken even. Right now from the website, as far as the money we've put in to, the equipment and things we needed for speaking. Since we're at the very beginning, obviously the expenses are more than, income.
As with any business, yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping that'll turn around this summer because of the two big conferences. And then I'm hoping to take my husband to the Bahamas. He has been, so haggard and half dead, literally. He is half dead. Look at the despair article on my website. I'm planning to revamp my entire website. I will have them, those articles for free, but you might have to log in at some point. I'm trying to ask God how to monetize my website and help me be wise about what He wants me to do, because He put it on my heart to start this website as a second income for my family. It was right at the time we were about to go bankrupt, and God supernaturally intervened so we did not have to go bankrupt. But the whole reason for me to have this website was to bring in a second income for my family. And so I know that that's what God wants me to do. So if this is not what is happening, then I need to ask God. I know lots of people have emailed me saying that they've drawn closer to God because of my stuff, and it's great. And yet we need... we need to turn it around somehow. So I'm just hoping for, praying for that in the summer. But really, I want God to be glorified, even if I live in a cardboard box, and I don't care if I live in a cardboard box. So really, I don't care about
You're
money,
so
Beth.
Funny.
We give away. You don't understand. My husband and I do more than tithe. We give, like, we support missionaries. We give away so much of our money. And my ebook, by the way. Growing up as a missionary kid,
100%. Yeah, that I want to plug that because it's so good.
You didn't even see the final that wasn't the final copy. I should send you the real one. It's much better.
Okay.
You saw like the rough one that was kind of disjointed.
It's really wonderful.
I put a lot of smooth transitions and stuff and rearranged it. But anyway, So I do have the book Growing Up as a Missionary Kid, but it's not spiritual like this conversation has been. It's more like a juvenile nonfiction, something you could read to your children to get them excited about missions. Well, I don't know if it gets you excited about missions necessarily.
Yes, it does. It did me, yeah.
Joy. I just felt joy as I was writing it. And, if I could say one more thing about, I want to go back to this church thing, just to make one statement. If you brood on something, then it no longer is the truth. What happens is Satan, we're talking about demonic warfare, like in your book, as well as in my life this past almost year, people that have come against us, it has all happened because someone brooded on something, and they stew and stew and stew in their mind about that thing, and it no longer is the truth, because what happens is you exaggerate and I've done this before. Women do this, Don't brood on something. I'm serious, because what happens is it becomes distorted. It's like a funhouse mirror that's like not reality, and then you have a wrong view of life. And Satan uses that. That's one of Satan's tactics, is to distort and twist things. And then it drives a wedge between you and other people. This is especially important in your marriage, not to twist what your husband says. Assume the best in your husband. Assume the best. and don't start stewing, because then it just, you know, I mean, if you believe the best, then it becomes the best. It's weird. Because if you believe in your husband, it ends up being that they are better people. There's a reason why love believes all things, you know, and love hopes all things. And I talked about hope in the article I just wrote this week about hope in the midst of despair.
That's what so many people need, and that theme is through the book, not the hope that's in ourselves, but in God, in our relationship with Christ. And be sure to check out Susan's articles at her website. She's got articles. She's got an e-zine you want to be sure to see, and videos, products. Her products are quality products. She's an anointed writer and speaker. Also, to find out more information about this e-book, please go to http://womensbattles.com. Again, that is http://womensbattles.com. If you sign up right now, you can get a 25% special discount. That is for a limited time. Not going to have that sale forever. You can get it right now for $15. That includes my study guide that goes over each of the 10 chapters. It also includes Cindy Rushen. Cindy Rushen is our writing mentor and business coach. It includes her audios from her Castles Under Fire bundle set. And again, that is womensbattles.com. I wanted to close with a scripture that is from Isaiah 54. And it says, "The sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom so that I may know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will." So be sensitive to his spirit. Allow God to speak to your heart. Just go to him in prayer, and he will speak to you and do great and mighty things in your life. He will teach your hands to war. He will teach your fingers to do battle. And I would encourage you to pick up this e-book, read Susan's story in it, and read the other powerful stories. It is just amazing how God brought it all together, and I'm so excited about it. Susan, I'm so, so thankful and grateful that you are part of it, and thankful that you joined me here today to interview you. I've loved talking with you. Thank you for coming.
Thanks.
Well, y'all have a great day, and be sure to check those resources out, and God bless you. And I just want to close in prayer. God, I just come to you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for this time together. God, I thank you that there were no tech issues, and God, we just give you the praise and we give you the glory that we can testify about you. God, you are our general in the army. You do instruct us, and we want to follow your orders. We want to obey your word. So, God, I just pray that you would give us faith and you would keep our eyes turned on you. And, God, above all things, that we would draw closer to you each day, that you would use us mightily for your glory, that you would be with Susan and her family this summer and bless her and enlarge her territory and mine, God, not because of us, God, but because of Jesus. We want to give your message to those who need it, who hunger and thirst for your word. God, I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.